Thank you, Femi.
Just a touch.
So as Femi said there, they're calling it capital injection. And whether it's the UK government or Germany or Italy or the Federal Reserve in the United States and the U.S. Treasury, governments are taking extraordinary steps to own banks, whether it's nationalization in the United Kingdom or more of a partnership here in the United States in a program that President Bush is going to announce in the next 15 minutes or so. We wanted to get the perspective of someone who is maybe an unrepentant socialist, an absolute leftist, someone who believes that socialism is really the economic orthodoxy. And so we contacted former mayor of London, Ken Livingstone. He's the former mayor. He's known as Red Ken, well-known socialist and leftist on economic issues. They say capital injection. What do you call it, Ken?
Well, it's a bailout for the banking system. And given the situation we're in, I can understand that British government and most of the European governments, and to a degree, even George Bush, are going down this road. My own slight preference would be actually to let each bank fail and then nationalise them without cost. That's what the British government did with the Northern Rock Bank. And, part of the problem at the moment is we're all seeing this as though somehow bankers have done something wrong. The reality is this economic upheaval is because the dollar is overvalued by about 30%. So it doesn't matter what you do with individual banks. Anybody that's holding assets in dollars is facing a pretty catastrophic loss. And therefore, until you get the American dollar reflecting the real value of the current situation, we're going to carry on having these sort of upheavals.
So personally, is this a kind of I told you so moment for the rest of the world economy, or is it something that's structural that you believe is kind of inevitable? You mentioned the dollar, but are there other issues in the global economy that make this unavoidable?
President Carter, 30 years ago, told the American people they were living beyond their means, they had to invest more, they had to save more, and he was thrown out. And then you had President Reagan in America, Mrs. Thatcher in Britain saying deregulate the banks and so on. So we spent 25 years borrowing and borrowing whilst India and China have grown, they're investing, they're saving. And what we're going through is a big correction. There's a shift of power here from Europe and America to India and China and the rest of Asia. And this just simply reflects the change of global power. Well, I'm part of that post-war generation. I grew up in a world run by Europe and America. That world's coming to a close, and we're all going to have to work a lot harder, save a bit more, invest a bit more.
But Ken Livingstone, if that is really the case, how come the entire world is flocking to U.S. Treasury bonds as a place to park their money at the very moment you say this power shift is causing the sort of extinction of American economic supremacy?
Basically, the very reasonable nature of the Chinese communist leadership, they recognize that if they didn't carry on buying American bonds and dollars, you'd have something like the Great Depression again. So they're prepared to prop up the American economy for a period of time and ease this shift of power. Also, if you actually think of the old Soviet Union, their broad view was we'll match America bomb by bomb and nuclear missile by nuclear missile, sub by sub. The Chinese have realized it's much simpler. You just prop up your opponent's currency, and they're not in a position where they can attack you.
Well, if China is driving this, what if they just chose, instead of investing in dollars, investing in, say, Kiwis or in McDonald's franchises in New Guinea? Would the entire American economy fall to pieces?
Well, if the Chinese communist leadership decided tomorrow, no more American purchases, then yes, you'd be heading to a Great Depression. But what's striking about the Chinese communist leadership, they're prepared to play a long game, they think, in terms of a generation, 30, 40 years, and easing this. They clearly see catastrophic global economic recession would damage them as well. So they're prepared to prop up America while it gratefully and graciously declines.
So does it give you some sort of economic security, knowing that the Chinese communists are running the show here as a socialist yourself?
My 8 years as mayor, I did everything possible to attract Indian and Chinese investment to London. So we rebalanced our economy so it wasn't so dependent on the United States of America. All my life, when America had a recession, we had something worse. Right? Now we're in a position where just the global economy is more diverse. That's the world we're all going to live in. I mean, the bad news for people in Europe and America is we have to consume a little less, invest a little more, train a little harder, because there are new kids on the block and they're doing better than we are.
Are the Chinese insulated from a global recession if the entire system should tank?
Well, no, they're not insulated, but you've still got over half the Chinese population living on the land. And there, therefore, is 30 or 40 years more growth in China as people leave the land to come to the cities and be more economically productive, a bit like America did in the last century and Europe did in the last century. So they're not insulated, but they're in a position where they've still got... I mean, in the same way that the 20th century was an American century because America invested more than all its rivals. And then by the end of the century, that was no longer the case. Germany, Japan, and now China, and India and Vietnam, all investing more. So power will continue to shift. Now, this isn't the end of the world. If you go back before the discovery of America by the Europeans and before slavery and before colonialism, I mean, broadly economic wealth in the world reflected the size of your population. We're going back to that. So if you come back in 25 years, China will be the leading world economy. America will still be number two, but close behind, perhaps even equal, will be India, and then there'll be Europe. So it's just we've lived in a world for 60 years where America was top dog, could set the agenda and determine the way the world would be. That world's coming to a close. And as long as America can elect politicians who understand that and start to redirect the American economy to invest a bit more, train its workforce a bit better, we'll be fine. The real worry would be a sort of Sarah Palin character coming to the presidency who just starts lashing out and thinking this is unfair. China's winning because it's working harder.
All right, well, Ken Livingston, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Ken Livingston, former mayor of London and referred to as Red Ken for the leftist views on the blog he publishes, the Socialist Economic Bulletin, .blogspot.com. Ken Livingston, thanks so much. And Ken Livingston barely able to suppress a smile there at the Chinese communists taking over everything.
Well, they're working harder, I think he said
right.
10
right.
times.
They're winning. We're always on at the takeaway.
And we're conducting America's exit poll.
We want to know from you, when did you make up your mind and what decided it for you? Explain how you made the decision at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
And here's your takeaway.
When it's time to go, boom, it goes. It's as dependable as an AK-47 rifle.
It's John Schwartz, reporter for The New York Times, talking about the Russian spacecraft Soyuz, a very dependable spacecraft.
And just to remind you, President Bush is scheduled to speak in just about 10 minutes, a little less, probably 7 minutes, about his economic plan.
We're talking about money all morning. The candidates say they have big plans to help retirees out. What are your concerns if you're retiring or have loved ones who are approaching retirement age? What scares you the most about growing old? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
And of course, if you missed anything, you can catch it on our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.